I'd like to call the Charlestown Commissioner meeting to order for October 11th, 2022. Present, we have Commissioner Woods, County Administrator Brian Leitner.
Kathy Sandow.
On Zoom, we have Curtis, Commissioner. So let's stand to do the Pledge of Allegiance. John, could you do that for us?
Sure. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, and with liberty and justice for all.
Meeting minutes. We cannot do these. Curtis, we can't approve the minutes because Lou wasn't here last time.
Oh, okay.
So they're on hold. Accounts payable.
Curtis, I'm going to share, just so you know, I'm going to share with you the updated accounts payable list. It changed since the meeting packet that went out earlier.
Is the Academy an excellent place for you guys? For the Academy of Excellence class?
Yes, for Brian, for the classes. He took it for me, for mine.
Yeah, we enrolled in that.
Okay, that's good. I figured that's what it was for.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Is there a motion to pay the bills? Are you, you're still showing it to Curtis?
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm scrolling through. Curtis, are you able to see that okay?
Yep, I'm looking at it.
Okay. Really, the change that was added since the earlier version was just we received the two invoices for October and November for Trash Tech.
Okay.
What was the total here?
I'm getting there.
Okay.
$91,989.47.
Yep. I see it. I make a motion that we pay the accounts payable of $91,989.47.
Second. Is there any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Since DES is here, did you want to think we ought to jump ahead?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we can skip old business.
You want to do the stabilization however you want to, do that?
We can.
Okay, let's do the stabilization.
All right, let me pull up the information we received from Dewberry. Remember at the last meeting we had talked about the cost estimate we received to design the stormwater swale coming off of Baltimore Street up above the sewer line patch that we hope to start construction on soon. we had asked Dewberry if they felt that cost estimate was reasonable. what we should take into account when designing that project. And here's their comments. Any design that we come up with for that area, it has to account for the volume and the velocity of the stormwater coming through there, as well as the what's happening with stormwater in the whole drainage area up above it. The design doesn't necessarily need to wait for the assessment that we'll be doing in the watershed master plan, since the forecasted precipitation amounts can be incorporated into their model. So that's good news that their design will look at a bigger area and also take into account the increased precipitation amounts flowing across it. More than likely, and I think we had talked about this before, other flood reduction devices will be needed in the future within the drainage area. You could probably say that for most locations, at least coastal locations in town. This particular site is a little more complex due to the steep slopes and trying to work within the 50-foot wide road right-of-way. Soil conditions will also be a factor, whether or not we can infiltrate some of that stormwater as it comes down the hill. Also, the proximity to the water and sewer lines needs to be taken into account, as well as that's how our maintenance staff gets down to the park, mm-hmm. right? It's a busy area. So I think, Dewberry was in agreement that it is a little bit more of a complicated site. And just in general guidance for us, a good design will take into account its surroundings. It shouldn't need to be replaced in the future, and is also, it should be designed in conjunction with other future restoration projects. So if we do a project, if we do something later, they should work together.
Yeah. After discussion with Dewberry, it's the fact that I just wanted to really make sure that this wasn't just the grassy area, it was incorporating the whole way back. Mm-hmm. So, because again, if we didn't do that, then it would be just a Band-Aid effect, which we've been doing forever. So this is a good thing to help with that. And I know that over the past years, we've done different things there and we've only worked on that little area. So I think this is actually a good plan on the fact that it will help with the Dewberry project.
Yep.
Curtis, do you have anything?
No, I agree with you. I feel like we're going to do it. Let's do it. And do it okay. The right way.
I just wanted to, the only reason I didn't want it to happen last week is I just wanted to, or last meeting was, I just want to make sure it wasn't interfering or it wasn't something that was going to go against what our grand plan is.
Right. Yep, I understand.
Okay. Is there a motion or any discussion for the discussion?
How are you feeling about that, Lou? Does everything seem right? Everything good to you?
Yeah.
No, okay.
Okay, is there a motion to approve this?
This was for 20,000, wasn't
it? Yep. Yeah, it's right here for you.
Sorry.
I
make a motion to approve this for the $20,073.87.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Any discussion?
No, I think we're fine.
Do we want to approve it? Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Aye. Okay. Now we'll go to John.
John, the floor is for you guys. If it makes sense, I can share our mitigation actions too.
Yes. So first of all, for everyone, let me introduce Michael Burke. To the folks in the room, Michael is the new emergency planner. You may remember Ashley Bothwell was the previous emergency planner, and Michelle was previously the Michelle Lloyd was the deputy emergency manager. Our structure has changed. Emergency management now falls under me as a deputy director, and he is the point person for the most part. He and I, he's been here for what, 3 weeks now? He's gotten the emergency management plan, peach bottom. What else have I dumped on? I'm already dumping on him very quickly because there's been some things hanging out there. The hazard mitigation plan is incredibly important. And I came into it late. So I do know that Michelle worked with all the local municipalities to get their input into the plan. It's for all hazards, not just flooding. So, you know, we may go back and relook at what other hazards do you have here? I think flooding is probably your biggest one in this area. But there's many others that could be hazards, but you guys don't have much traffic in town here as far as truck traffic, other than going to Market Street Cafe and, you know, and the
docks. Except when I-95 is closed.
Oh, like, don't talk about that.
Well, when it is, and they reroute people, their GPS shoves them up.
Yeah,
and
so
they
that was the Waze. Yeah, the Waze actually. I mean, you're talking more about when we had the bridge.
When the bridges were closed. I just want you to know.
And they came through town. Yes. Yeah, so they did. They did do a lot of wandering. We had several trucks stuck on tiny little roads that they couldn't navigate and that sort of thing, the roads that weren't made for that.
Right.
So we started this process way back in March of 2021. Mm-hmm. So it's been going on for a long time. We submitted what we thought it was our final plan. We had paid the contractor, Vision Planning, that had put it together, paid them because we had what we thought was the final plan, turned it into MEMA. Who turned it into FEMA, and then 2-3 months later in June, we get this whole laundry list of stuff that needed to be changed in the plan. And most of it was not, it was some prioritization on some of the projects overall, some comments on that, but most of it was, well, who was at this meeting and who was at that meeting? So we got through that. Luckily, Vision Planning, my concern was that Vision Planning wasn't going to stand behind the... because they were kind of pushy there at the end when we were trying to get the final plan together.
Because their hours were probably running out, right? Or
I think they felt like they, but let me tell you, they stood up.
Good.
And they completely fixed everything that FEMA identified. So we finally have gotten to the point of what's called approvable after adoption. So adoption means that we have to come to each of the county councils, talk with you about the plan, and ask you to adopt it by resolution. I've provided a draft resolution, and Brian's kind of updated that a little bit. So what does the plan give us? It gives us eligibility to get money, both mitigation money, meaning projects like this 20,000, I'm thinking, but even that 20,000 could go towards a match if a match is required for any particular project. So, you know, as you move forward, we need to be talking so that we can help give you guidance on some of these projects. If you have anything that's going to, you think is going to help with your mitigation plan. Now, there are some projects that are listed in the, I don't know if you want to, that are specific to, I don't know if you have any of the highlights that you've looked at, Brian. Sorry, I have not really concentrated on specific.
That's okay. I mean, one point of, I think that's important to make is, these hazard mitigation plans are updated every 5 years, right?
Yeah, so we have to start the next year's process.
Already.
Okay.
But what's nice is it's not like you're doing a total rewrite like any plan.
No, it's an update.
It's an update. So what this table shows is some new ideas, right, that came out of the planning process, mm-hmm. but also those good ideas that we've been wanting to implement since the past plan,
mm-hmm.
right? I think Charlestown's got 18 different, I'll call them action strategies.
Mm-hmm.
And there was 10 of them from the last plan, eight
that
added
this time. We
haven't
gotten anything done. We haven't made a whole lot of project progress on the projects I've asked him to concentrate to work with the towns to say, let's see what projects we can get done before the next go around.
So. And I can run through them real quick just for, because some other folks just came in on Zoom. I mean, some of these action strategies are, hey, we want to increase training for emergency personnel. It's ongoing, right? When you think about the status of it. We've been doing some of that.
Right. And we've also gotten some additional if you want to put that in there, from the CARES funding, we bought exposure suits for Charlestown for them to use.
Because we have a fire boat.
Yes. Mm-hmm. A nice fire boat. Probably the best fire boat in the county, to tell you the truth.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Right. We're dredging.
We're not going to go there.
We're dredging.
But see, that's
part of your plan. Yeah.
Yes.
But it's good. Like, I didn't know that. We've got some nice.
How many suits did they get?
I'll have to get back to you. I can't remember that. That's been a while. That was under the CARES funding. So that was probably a year and a half ago that we got them, or 2 years ago that we got them.
Cool.
So that came, we had leftover CARES money that we had to spend, and it was like, okay, they need this. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh. And then we had to twist it to make it. I can't remember how we twisted it, but we had to twist it to make it relative to COVID.
Okay. Yeah. For the early warning system, would that be like the code red thing?
Yeah, so we have code red. And I get called from it. Yeah, so, and we try not to cry wolf with that.
Right.
Yeah, you probably do get some weather alerts automatically that are automatic feeds through that. We also have another application that we haven't even touched a whole lot, and it's called Cecil Ready, which is an app that you install on your phone that he and I need to look at more closely. We got to bring the contractor in and say, okay, what can we do with this? Mm-hmm. You know, this year I just said, I don't have time. Let's just go ahead and pay the fee for next year and let's go forward. So yeah, so there's a lot of alerting systems that we have available to us already. And I hesitate to go jumping forward with anything new until we've actually seen the capabilities of what we have, because I wasn't here when they were put in place. You know, I know that we can do geofencing with the code red, meaning that we can draw a line on a map and everybody that happens to be in there, cell phone, if it's somebody that doesn't live there, but they have a cell phone, they'll get whatever alert that we send. Yeah. So we need to improve on the use of that, but I don't want to cry wolf with any of these.
And we
want to have this stuff going boop, 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 in the middle of the night.
Right. We want to be on the same page. Say,
oh, it's going to be foggy in the morning.
Right. Because we do. I mean, we see some of the weather forecasts from through the National Weather Service, and then I'm always checking your guys' website.
Yeah.
And Facebook page to see what kind of messages you're putting out. We're like, all right, let's make sure we're on the same page.
You know, so our trigger to this point is that we won't put any additional over, because we know everybody looks at the weather service.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we don't want to be the alarmist that, Bob Turk and everybody else happens to be. Well, not anymore, but, Marty Bass and all the other weather people who have to hype everything up. We try to be very, so if we do have something, then we use typically, if there's a major threat, typically we will get a call. We will have what we call a weather call from Maryland Department of Emergency Management, where all the emergency managers on the state get on, and we have the three weather services that serve Maryland one way or another.
Okay.
And four, actually. They will go through, usually Sterling is the one that has most of Maryland, so they lead, and then all the other ones that have little pieces of Maryland will pitch in. But they give us, here's the best case, here's the worst case, here's what we think it's going to be. You know, so we know we probably have to be ready for this, but this is what we prepare for. You know, and then we try to put out this middle case of what is most likely to happen. And that's when we put something out. We won't typically put something out unless we have a weather call, because we don't have any more than the weather service has unless we have a weather call, because then we can ask them, okay, well, what about surge? What am I going to have to worry about with, upstream up in New York coming down 3 days from now after the rain, having to flood Port Deposit with the gates? What am I going to have to worry with surge with coming into Charlestown and some of the other coastal towns? You know, so that's we need to be really judicious, because I don't like raising alarms unless I really need to.
And on the flip side, I just think we want our residents to be aware and prepared. And there's things that we could push out to get folks prepared.
Right. So we activities. One of the things that we need to, and I've got our whole agency, not just for preparedness, but for prevention, injury prevention, and everything else. We need to be better at community engagement, about getting out with people and talking with people like I am now, but also in public forums. And we have this whole stack of flood insurance stuff, but it's from 2017.
I've seen those stacks.
And the flood insurance program has changed since then. So he's going back to check with FEMA to see if this stuff is still good or if we need to get new packets. I don't think it's good.
It's not.
Yes. And I think some of it, you know, we could probably get in a digital form.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. On our website. And we can get, you know, we're trying one of his projects. Also, another one of his projects is to update our website completely on a new, onto the county. We have a small.
Yeah. Yours is separate.
Yes. Ours is separate. I kind of like that separate because then we control it completely and we don't have the county PIO saying, no, you can't post this or you can't post that. And we have direct access to it. So I had to, in order, you know, we went to the county and said, hey, look, we're paying, and it's minimal, it's not a whole lot of money for our own website. It's not the best software. We'd rather update that software. And I know we're getting off track here, but you know, so we went to the county and said, look, I need to have full access 24/7 to this because I need to put alerts out. You can't tell me what I can't put out. I said, you're going to have to trust me to be a professional and put out the information that's going to be appropriate and not to put fluff and crap out there. And they're like, okay. I mean, it wasn't any argument. Sheriff's office is also on the county's website, except for that they have a different boss than I have overall. So, I mean, the sheriff is his own boss. So I was very leery. Other departments in the county don't have as much flexibility as we will have. So,
because I just came back a couple weeks ago from the Maryland Municipal League's fall conference. And one of the things that they were talking about is emergency preparedness. Mm-hmm. And they want to take the word ad hoc off of it. And they want to make it more
a formal committee
to make it, to get it out to all of us. But they want to incorporate everything from pandemics that aren't in there now.
That's our job. We have to be prepared for everything. So the pandemic came along and we were all public health preparedness experts. Believe me, we had to, it was like in a week, we had to know exactly what was going on. Luckily, I had been through it with previous stuff when I worked at the state. So I had a pretty good idea of what we needed to do as far as avian influenza. Back in whenever that was, I can't remember. I've been through so many
different. Right, there's been a few since.
Yes. I was working in Army Public Health, so I understand a lot of that.
So it's that, it's floods, it's what happens when something falls out of the sky and kills a bunch of people. Mm-hmm. It's trains, it's planes, it's.
And that's something boats. We have to think about because you know, train tracks are right here. So.
Yes. So, I mean, after the windstorm, we wake up. That guy wakes up.
Well, I know. I remember.
Ended up having a tanker car from the train blew up Route 40. Right near Route 40 down into Perryville, and it's sitting in his dock. He said, "Well, you know." He said, "Can you tie that up for us?"
I know. Because
we couldn't get anywhere to get it.
Yeah.
You know, we had MDE stuck in traffic trying to come up to deal with it, help us deal with that.
I was in that trying to come from the base. 9 hours.
Yes, that was not a fun evening. 9 hours. That was not a fun evening for anyone anywhere near 95.
Mm-hmm. So, John, I think what I'll reach out to Michael about is the commissioners want to chime in too, but the last two on this table here, creating a flood hazard profile for each critical facility and public roadway vulnerable to nuisance flooding in town.
Mm-hmm.
And then the communicate risk for each hazard type.
Yes.
Via social media, newsletters.
Right. So we want to be communicating with you and your residents to make sure that they, and tell them, look, you need to think about not putting anything in your basement, anything of value in your basement for some of these folks, if they do have a basement. I don't know how many homes here.
Yeah.
Most of us
along the water don't work. They're built up.
Yeah, but, most of them are built up a little bit. But
The older homes, the cottages and stuff are built just like.
Well, flat on the ground. Right. Right. And, you know, maybe it's not too expensive for them to raise them a little bit.
And,
you know,
one thing pretty, that. And,
I mean, for a bungalow, it might not be too bad, but you
it's pretty expensive.
Okay.
At least.
That's a low. That's a lot of money for. You might as well tear down and rebuild at that point. Right. Probably.
And we had a meeting yesterday about the Watershed Master Plan. MDE attended. Kevin Wagner.
Okay. Yes.
And he said, he's aware in Charlestown we have two campgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
And those are vulnerable structures. You know, there's probably things we could do there to improve or reduce risk.
Right. Or at least, especially alerting.
Right.
And to make sure that they, you know, if there is something coming to you, if you get something flashing coming down towards you and you know about it, that we can, unfortunately, we don't always know about it. That's why they're called flash floods.
Right.
But,
yeah.
You know, but at least there's, you know, some work with the camp owners to figure out how we can protect anybody that happens to be there.
Plus, we're kind of unique here where Elkton is apparent. It's all the time. They know. It starts raining, Delaware Avenue is flooded, don't go that way.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Howard
yeah.
Street's flooded, don't go that way. Yeah. You know, here.
That whole corner there.
Yeah.
From here, Delaware around to where all the convenience store and everything else is.
Yeah. Here it floods and we can become landlocked.
Yes, we do.
I mean, because you can't get out that way on Route 7, and you can't get out that way on Route 7.
Or Carpenter's Point or Mountain Hill.
Carpenter's Point Road.
So, you know, Carpenter's Point is at high risk because they're probably one of the lowest areas in the county.
You know, and we are sitting down here going, we have seniors.
You're not much higher than they are, right?
And then we get that side of town, which I live on, we get blocked off from everybody because the bridge
Don't like you. That's the problem.
I mean, and those guys are flooded, and then down by me, we're running by boats up and down the street.
Yeah.
The jet skis come out, and we're going down to get people right up off of Edgewater Avenue because.
Right. Well, and that's why, you know, that's probably why we need to work with you and fire. Company and other businesses that, I mean, your marina who has resources that we can snatch if we need to and make sure we have agreements with them beforehand for a plan to help move and evacuate the residents if it looks like it's going to continue to fill in.
Right.
You know, so that's a lot of work to do. But we've got to start someplace. Okay. We have to start someplace. And we're, you know, we want to be involved with you because if we don't know what's going on in your area, then we can't get you the resources you need because you guys aren't going to have all the resources. I mean, not one, you know, one small town cannot have all the resources they need to respond. Yeah, we are improving our swiftwater rescue capabilities. There are major plans for us to improve our swiftwater rescue capabilities and our tactical rescue collapse trench and that sort of thing. So, which we don't have in this county. We rely on Harford County or Newcastle County right now.
Or we rely on officers that jump in the water and
I can't have that. I can't have that.
I'm telling you, though, that's what happens. We jump out there because this is what you hear. My baby. And this is how I know this because it was me and another officer and we jumped in and it was her dog.
Oh, God.
Down on Delaware Avenue.
Yeah, no, we don't need that. Yeah, so, I mean, we can't. We rescued the same guy out of a tree two times. And I'm just like, what the hell are you doing in the damn tree?
Right. And it's places that they know for sure.
Right.
And they'll drive through it. They'll go around barriers and stuff. But down here, like I said, we're unique. We're just stuck here. You're here and that's it. You're not going anywhere.
So there are several grants that are available. That's why I want to make sure that we stay close in touch with you to help guide you on some of those grants. Kevin is an awesome asset. I just need to instill him. You need to let us know when you talk with the locals. I know that there's been a disconnect there in the past, and I want to fix that disconnect. You know, Kevin reached out, and he's gotten all. We've got this meeting coming up down in Perryville, and. A couple of other things that he's communicating directly with you. Mm-hmm. In the beginning, we didn't know about any of that. Okay. I found out about it from Aaron. So I'm just like, you gotta talk to us, because we're gonna be the ones that are gonna have to support.
We're definitely going to invite you to our next meeting so that you're part of it. Okay.
Yeah, so we just got invited because of the mitigation plan, although it's been a nightmare. We got invited also to Elkton and Northeast meetings about, you know, what some of their plans are that they already had in process that I had no clue about. So we are inheriting a lot of this, unfortunately, but we need to be in touch with you and be pushing forward. You guys are going to have much better chance at getting these grants if you have other eyes looking at them, other than just us or just you guys and MEMA. Getting county support and get sign offs from county government.
Big study is. Yes. So, and I know that we have to get this. You know,
having Aaron involved from the beginning, from land use and development, and making sure that whatever they're approving up above you guys is going to be in line with what the plan is going to be. So it's, we can't just go ahead and develop without thinking. I mean, Bainbridge, for example, is another problem because they're going to have a lot more drainage down in the port deposit. You know, we've got, let me just run through some of the, you got hazard mitigation grant, post-fire assistance. You've got the building resilience infrastructure program,
yes,
the flood mitigation assistance program, and pre-disaster mitigation. And then afterwards, you get individual and public assistance. And that's the phone calls you typically get from me the next morning after something saying, can you do a damage assessment for me? So that we can make an assessment. We haven't qualified since I've been here.
Yeah.
But we make an assessment of, we got close this time, except for this. We had met our thresholds, but the state did not meet their thresholds, so we couldn't get it. That's a lot of work to go through that. I mean, when you bring FEMA in to look at some areas and that sort of thing, it's a lot of work to be able to do that. So you've already mentioned it and we've already talked about increased engagement. I'm just like jumping through this pretty quickly. One of the things that is above you, and I have to look at the drainage from it, and I think is you have several dams above you also.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Up at what's the name? York Building Products.
Mm-hmm. They have a high hazard dam?
Three of them.
Three or four of them. I think one is no longer active.
It's not.
It's pretty much, but they have at least three of them that are active.
Mm-hmm.
We actually went through and it looked like you would be okay, but it was close. When we looked at the volumes and that sort of thing. One of the things that's not included in this is the high hazard in this mitigation plan.
Mm-hmm.
We did not do high hazard mitigation assessments, which are required, not necessarily for this go around, but they will be required for next go around. So that's going to be a major area of focus for us over the next 4 years.
Oh, you guys didn't do the York dams?
No, so we worked, so we do have.
You identified them, I think, in this plan, right? Yeah,
they're identified by the state. They're identified in this plan.
Oh, the state did some kind of a study?
Yeah, I thought we were told they did.
Yeah, so the state did.
The state did.
The county was, so the state has identified the high hazard dams.
Okay.
All right. So they have, I think, one or two of theirs are high hazard.
Yes.
But there are several other dams around the county. I think we had a total of like four high hazard besides Conowingo.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because when I was around, it was two, including Conowingo. Yeah, Something was discovered.
So, you know, I think some of them are actually in Pennsylvania. But I mean, they're not ours, but we have to include them in our assessment because we're downstream, you know, up in the Octorera, et cetera, et cetera. So, the damn people. Don't put that in the minutes. The damn safety people. Sorry, from the state.
Capital D and a small D, right? Yeah.
Big D, little D. Yeah.
One with an M and one with the N too. And they laugh about it when I say it too. So, but we have to work with them to go back and reassess those dams. We did have a tabletop exercise with York that we sponsored, actually put together for them. We did a tabletop exercise with them. We did have the dam safety folks from the state at our place during that. It was just tabletop. We just kind of walked through looking at the areas. And there was some after action stuff there that they needed to look at. There's only three houses to get that are in any major, because it's all a big empty valley below them. So we're lucky there. Very lucky with that one. There's
excuse
no,
me, what you're saying, three dams, York. Is that York, PA?
No, no York, York Building Builders. Products up off of Belvedere Road.
Okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So just on the other side, well, this side and the other side of 95. So mm-hmm. you see the conveyor belt that goes over right alongside yeah. Belvedere Road. That's mm-hmm. part of York Building Products.
Okay.
So they basically are washing stone is what they have these dams okay. for, is to, mm-hmm. to have the water to wash so stone into different components.
And that'll be the first thing I ask Michael. So I'm going to email him that watershed study area map mm-hmm. and say, hey, are those dams in our study area, in our watershed?
I think they come down just, I have to look again. I have to look at the
Excel spreadsheet back in the office about mm-hmm. it. I think I have an Excel spreadsheet
yeah.
about it.
Yeah, we have a lot of detail about it because we did look at it closely. We did look at there. They do have some flow studies and that sort of thing and volume studies and how much of an inundation area there would be. So there are maps, and I have to go back and look at these maps to see exactly. Don't think you get, I think it goes just west of you. Yeah, just east might. Of you. Mm-hmm. Just east of you.
Because when you look at that study area map, Belvedere Road is out. Mm-hmm. Even the east side of Belvedere Road, mm-hmm. which our fire company includes the east side of Belvedere right. Road. But at, as far as what drains through town,
yeah, I don't
think it may be out. But
I think it's outside of town.
I think it is because I think he showed it when he brought it.
Lefty, where's 95? 95 is up here.
If I remember right.
Where's I Belvedere? Belvedere, yeah. So
Belvedere Road's up above it.
Yeah, so it comes down through here. So yeah. it's just
it is just east of us.
Just east of
mm-hmm.
here. Okay. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that was the stream that it yeah. came down. Yeah. I can't remember the name of the stream.
South Creek?
Yeah.
It comes all the way down up here.
So it's coming from up here and then it'll come down Broad Creek.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, because it goes directly yeah, east go. From them and then it goes south. So it goes directly. I mean, the flow goes directly east from them and then south down between you guys and Elton mm-hmm. or northeast.
Northeast.
So okay. I'm an outsider. I'm learning. I'm getting okay. better.
Northeast gets hammered too with these floods and everything. Believe
yes,
me.
They get.
They,
yeah.
they have this.
They have a lot of.
Heron snatchers. Forget it. It just comes up and goes right into town, and the other one down in town comes up and closes.
Yeah, so they got a lot of flow restrictions that are man-made that yes. need to be dealt with mm-hmm. somehow. Yeah. So I mean, we've got to get to that, and hopefully they have some of those on.
Theirs
so,
is
some of the other things. So we, as I said. We're just finishing this go round. Mm-hmm. It's time to start the next go round at the same time. Mm-hmm. So we'll probably be going back to the contractor that we used and asking them because we've been in discussion, but I have to get through this and then I'll meet with them and make things clear that I'm not gonna pay them until things are accepted in the future by FEMA. But that's IRA, if you're not familiar with mm-hmm. that, that's threat and hazard. Threat and Hazard Identification and Risk Assessment. And then that will lead into our next plan. So that'll help us identify any hazards we haven't thought about. You know, and it's a lot of a brainstorming sort of thing, but it's also bringing in some other folks. Some of you, we can bring Dewberry into that. We can, anybody that's been working on some of your projects, we can bring them into that to say, okay, well, yeah, that's not a threat. Or, oh, well, you know, York Buildings Products has this big pool of diesel fuel. And guess mm-hmm. what? That's going to come down and get you because mm-hmm. that goes on the other side. No, I don't. I'm guessing. I'm making things up. I don't think they have a big tank of diesel fuel yeah. there. But
we were just talking about it yesterday. I think that's kind of like one of the next steps we want to do.
Is the thyroid. Is to go back and look at what other threats do we have.
It's like creating a hazard profile.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's exactly what a thyroid is. Right. That's exactly what a thyroid is to identify the threats and then prioritizing them. What is the worst one that we're going to have to deal with that we feel like we need, that we can do something about?
Wasn't there a thyroid with this plan update?
Yeah. That was before my time.
Okay.
I came in 2017, and I think they were finishing, they had just finished it up. They had talked about doing it for this time, and then it got backed off because the participation was low and we had to get the plan done. We couldn't delay it.
I'm just thinking if that was done, there could be valuable information in there.
It was done in the past, so it needs to be redone. So we can pull out the old stuff, look at that, and say, okay, yeah, we already know about all that crap. What don't we know about that we have to worry about? You know.
Have you met with the other towns also?
You are the third. Third?
Yes.
I can't.
So you're almost halfway.
Yeah.
Almost.
Because
trying to pull teeth on some of them. So.
We have another MML dinner coming up. I'm president of the Hart-Cecil County chapter.
Okay.
And if you don't get a chance to roundtable everybody before December.
Well, why don't we talk about putting that on as an agenda item? And I will work with Linda Ploner.
Yes.
Or I'll have him work with Linda Ploner over in Harper County so we can come together and do a joint.
What I'll do is I'll get you on the agenda. And I will have you guys make another presentation there.
We're okay on this.
Okay.
Let us go through this.
Okay.
We've gotten, I think, finally got the last one arranged or close
you have
to
it
arranged.
Okay.
Yeah. Arranged.
Like
everybody's working on it.
Okay.
I don't have a date when I have to go meet with folks. So I just, you know.
All right.
You know, so everybody northeast, Elkton is like
because
Michelle
everybody in this county
fence.
Has some sort of. You can go and talk to everybody at the meeting, and everybody has
Calvin,
some sort of, Mike, everybody, you say one name, and it's going to be, the rain is killing us. We're under here. We're under there. We've got flooding issues here. We've got flooding issues there.
We're never going to stop it.
Exactly. We can slow it down some.
Well, we can reduce some risk.
We can reduce the risk
either by elevating things or moving things out of the way, or maybe we just need to buy this big area of land that nobody
and
can do anything
right.
with, which we've done in the
past.
That
we're talking about with this is I don't want to become Ellicott City.
Right.
That all the stuff is being cut down above us, and then the water is going to come
even
apart.
Even before the developments in Ellicott City, I mean, I've been involved in this for a long time, from the 70s. And before that, Ellicott City has had a, Ellicott City should not have been built there back in the 1800s when it was built there, because they've been getting flooded every 10 years since.
Okay.
You know, I've been through the response to, I think, four different Ellicott City floods.
Yeah, that was kind of whose idea was it to build here?
and to continue to build there and rebuild.
It's like
let it
did
go.
Did you not learn? You know, you feel sorry for him, but it's like,
I have to keep my mouth shut because I'll get in trouble.
Curtis, you can always chime in if you
but
have
if
something.
Like
okay.
That meeting.
Yep, I'm just listening.
Okay.
Maybe
okay,
after the first of the year.
Okay.
Because I'll see Linda Ploner before then, I think, and chat with her.
Okay.
And they've got some changes going on over there too,
all
with
right,
the
good.
Change of administration.
Yes.
With
But I'd love to get you guys after the first of the year. I wouldn't be able to get you in December.
I've got too much going on anyway. You know, he's inundated right now too. So I mean,
That would be a good forum.
Yes, because that way you've got everybody
and if
together.
If it's Harvard Cecil, if I'm standing next to Linda and or whoever ends up being the director, whether it's Ricky or whoever is their director, and I get Chief Tome to come stand next to us, I think that would be an awesome.
Awesome. We can get Wayne there.
Okay. Yeah, so. Oh, Vicky will
bring
Queen's chain and be
there. So,
let's see. Let me just look at other things we got going on, and then I'm done. I think yes. So we've already talked about, and we've already talked about it. So our department and county's emergency operations plan is also way out of date. So we may be coming to you guys for input on that.
Okay.
Our continuity of operations plan has not been updated with the new administration. And one of the things we need to do, like we did with some, I mean, the only exercises I've really been involved in here since I've come here has been Peach Bottom, of course, because that's a required federal exercise. Mm-hmm. But we've had Red Man drills at schools, which mm-hmm. is active shooter stuff. Mm-hmm. That's the only thing that we've really done here. Mm-hmm. We haven't had a major exercise for a while. So on an off year, which unfortunately this is, and he's new, on an off year from Peach Bottom, because it's Peach Bottom, it's just hell to get ready for, because we got so many dots and I's and T's and
lots of moving pieces
in that. Yes. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the things that we do need to do and involve you guys in some of those. Mm-hmm. And finally, we do have a monthly meeting. And I have to talk to the chief to see what we need to, it's called the Homeland Security Emergency Response Committee and the Local Emergency Planning Committee. LEPC is required by SARA Title III, which is the Right to Know Act, if you guys remember that from the 90s. But it was basically after Bhopal, India, and everybody said, well, people should have known what was there. And then everybody looked around and realized that, well, we got all these chemical plants around us. We don't know what the hell's there. So we get reporting from all these folks. And basically a lot of the business come, a lot of the responders come to that meeting, all the police chiefs come to that meeting, and then they have their police chiefs meeting afterwards. But none of the municipalities have been invited. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, I mean, Brian should be a regular participant in that. We're looking at, and that's probably where we'll be bouncing some of these things up with everybody, the thyra. Mm-hmm. We'll have a session on the thyra for an hour. We try to keep it to an hour because we don't want to, but there may be sessions that you all tell us, well, maybe we need to spend more time on this one. You guys schedule something separately and we'll set up a half a day and maybe get some of the businesses and, you know, to give us some food and we'll, because I can't buy food anymore. I was hoping Wellwood would be catering tonight, but I guess
we can't buy food all the time.
Cafe, anyway, you know.
You said the monthly meeting is Homeland Security, and then I lost the rest of it.
The Emergency Response Committee. So HERC/LEPC, Local Emergency Management Planning Committee. So we'll send out, we have to tell everybody else we're going to invite you and make sure that everybody's okay with that because they've been kind of a tight group for a long time. But I think they'll welcome you. I think they'll, so probably again, January is when we'll probably start opening that up more. Okay. Right now, we're just trying to exist to get through this and a couple mm-hmm. of other things that the Peach Bottom annual letter of certification is due at the end of the year and that's a whole long list of everything we've done for the last 4 years, which neither one of us were here completely for.
So that four.
Yeah, or in charge. I mean, I was involved, but I went in charge, so I got to go find all the records to fill in this annual letter of certification saying that we've met everything. I know we have, but. Well, he has.
There's a resolution that is in front of us. For the mitigation plan that we've been talking about. And part of this is we need to actually adopt this. Mm-hmm. This will help us with funding for our future projects that we are working on.
Some of the engineering for that.
Yes. Right. Yes. So do you want, he's going to put it up, or do you want me to read it? Or do you want to read
it?
I don't have my glasses. I have a pair. I always have a couple pairs.
Yeah.
I have mine, but I don't have to help you.
Okay. The resolution adopting the Cecil County Hazard Mitigation Plan update for 2022 for the town of Charlestown, Maryland, even though he's trying to get this turned around right. Whereas the town of Charlestown, Cecil County, Maryland is most vulnerable to natural hazards, which may result in loss of life and property, economic hardship, and threat to public health and safety. And whereas Section 322 of the Disaster Mitigation Act of 2000, DMA 2000, requires state and local governments to develop and submit for approval to the president a mitigation plan that outlines processes for identifying their respective natural hazards, risks, and vulnerabilities. And whereas the town of Charlestown acknowledges the requirements of Section 322 of DMA 2000 to have an approval hazard mitigation plan as prerequisite to receiving post-disaster hazard mitigation grant funds. And whereas the Cecil County 2022 hazard mitigation plan has been developed by the Cecil County Department of Emergency Services in cooperation with other county departments and officials and citizens of the town of Charlestown. And whereas a public involvement process consistent with the requirements of DMA 2000 was conducted to develop the Cecil County 2022 Hazard Mitigation Plan, and whereas the Cecil County 2022 Hazard Vulnerability Assessment and Mitigation Plan recommends mitigation activities that will reduce loss of life and property affected by natural hazards that face the county and the town of Charlestown, and there now therefore be it resolved. Why do they have to do all that? By the governing body of the town of Charlestown. The Cecil County 2022 Hazard Mitigation Plan is hereby adopted as the official hazard mitigation plan of the town of Charlestown, and the respected officials and agencies identified in the implementation strategies of the Cecil County 2022 Hazard Mitigation Plan are hereby directed to implement the recommended activities assigned to them. I make a motion we adopt that. Is there a second? Curtis?
Yes, I'll second it. I forgot to unmute. Sorry about that.
Bueller.
I'm sitting here talking. I'm like, they can't hear me.
Is there any discussion?
No, I don't have nothing.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. There you go, Bueller.
Thank you all for your consideration. And, and this has been the best discussion I think that we've had with any of the
council. I think it's so far. Part of it is that we're in the middle of doing all this too.
Oh, well, yes. Yes.
And we're excited to work with you guys.
I'm very excited to get panelists up, get down in the dirty and get the stuff done.
I think.
Oh. And thanks for coming out.
That's if we didn't come out and we said we wanted to come out and then right. We didn't come out, it's like, come on.
It's the same. It would be the same as.
Right. same old.
But we'll invite you to, we'll invite you to the stakeholder.
Yeah, you can be on the steering committee.
I'm available, I'll tag along, but he's going to be the one that's going to be tracking it and getting back to me.
Right. But thank you so very much.
We're going to talk about that. We'll sit back and listen now. We're going to talk about it now.
Okay. The next thing on the agenda is the Board of Appeals appointment, but we're going to have to defer on that because I can't vote on this. And there's not enough people, so it'll have to go to the next meeting. Do you want to talk about this while they're here?
You can, yeah.
Okay.
So we applied for grant funds through DNR, the Coastal Community Resilience.
To the ones that are online, we're going off the agenda a little bit. We're talking about the steering committee of the Stormwater Master Plan that we had yesterday while they're here, so that we can kind of, they know where we're at.
No problem.
We just come disrupt everything.
So yeah, I'll stop sharing the meeting packet for a second. We applied for a grant through the Community Resilience Fund through DNR to develop this plan. It is a watershed-based study. We hired Dewberry Engineers to forecast extreme precipitation events over the watershed and what that flooding is going to look like on the ground. Because you figure FEMA hasn't mapped it yet, this sort of flooding that we know exists. And what's kind of unique too, I think, is
don't call FEMA because then the flood insurance rates will go up.
But you know, when we talk about mitigation, maybe some of the regulations that apply in the 100 or 500 year floodplains,
right,
we could apply them in these areas too, these new flooding areas as well. And I think it just helps reduce risk.
It does increase our CRS rating.
That too. And Charlestown's not in CRS, but we want to get in.
Okay.
So that's partly why we're doing this too. And what's unique too, it's not just the surface flow that what's going to happen with extreme precipitation. We're going to model the drainage system, the pipes that are subsurface, you know, and then that intersection, because we are unique in that we have coastal flooding plus uphill, you know, pluvial flooding. Stormwater. Okay. Yeah, stormwater flooding. Pluvial is another technical term for stormwater flooding, but sorry. And it just, you know, we see that intersection with the drainage system getting overwhelmed, where water just can't go in the pipes anymore. But to actually have it mapped, we feel like is going to be beneficial for us. And one of the main deliverables is a list of maybe 20 projects that we could put in the ground, actual stormwater reduction projects.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that we'll be hopefully queued up for funding to design some of those and ultimately construct them. So, I mean, that's kind of it in a nutshell.
And we had the ones that were online yesterday. It was MDE. The county was there. DPW.
Aaron. No, Marshall was there.
Okay.
With DPW Stormwater Division.
Okay.
But Aaron was invited and he just couldn't make it. But he was. This is similar to a study that was just done by the county that included most of the town of Northeast. So it's kind of fun that we're spreading across Cecil County.
Yeah, this gets into the engineering and land use development, and we're just the ones that come in and clean up afterwards.
But they mentioned, they actually mentioned you guys yesterday. And they did. They were like, oh, man, we didn't think about it. But they were talking about some of this is also going to be used for you guys so that you know where the problem areas are that'll cut us off.
Yeah.
Because even though we have
where they can get water, so that's, you know, that's another issue for the fire service. And
7 is an evacuation route. That's not going to, we can't get out because of water.
Right.
And that's where we've fallen short in the past. It's like, it's a pretty simple exercise to say, hey, this block of this street is vulnerable to flooding. Okay. Mm-hmm. What's that mean? And we haven't done that yet.
Right. And it means everybody beyond that block is. Mm-hmm. On now on an island,
and just yes. if we can rope you in, I think that'll help.
Yes,
but they did. They mentioned you guys, so it's kind of cool.
Probably because I've been bugging your
Kevin. Yeah,
begin to incorporate us more. We've been a little bit quiet.
Well,
but you know.
But so. There was University of Maryland is looking at
extension service.
Right? Yep, yeah, extension. Yes.
MDE was there. There was 25 people that were invited. There was, 12, 13?
So we invited MDOT, you know, SHA, because we feel like they're a big part of this. You talk about choke points, you know, for flooding, culverts under roads, especially that strands Charlestown. Well, it's state highway culverts, right? I mean.
Yeah, no, I mean, Room 7.
And that's their jurisdiction. So, there's also an kind of fund, the Elk and Northeast River Watershed Association, that has been for the past few years communicating how important water quality is to residents. They're on board, so.
Good.
We felt like we've cast a wide net.
We've got that pipeline into the residents, and we can.
And yesterday was our first meeting.
Kickoff meeting.
And everybody seems to be excited about this project. So
yes, please make sure we're involved in the future.
I don't know, put it on your calendar, Michael, is our first community workshop, basically just to take this out to the study area residents and businesses to say, hey, this is what we're up to. Please let us know information you have on localized flooding. And
hopefully we'll have a mitigation plan. By
when then. Is that?
November 16th.
No, we won't have a mitigation plan.
Yeah, that's like 2 weeks away.
6 p.m. across the street.
Yep, that's Fire Hall. Yeah. And what's okay. That's the community workshop for the Watershed Master Plan.
We'll be going to pick up your daughter from kindergarten or check for first grade.
So that's pretty much where we're at with it. I did give you the map of what our study is. We're trying to keep as much. We're also going to be putting up a separate page on our web page to have this information out. And we're also putting it out on Facebook and in different areas. And I need to get it over into the Northeast thing too, because some of this is over there too. So yeah. That's the only one I haven't gotten it out there.
Well, some of our study area includes Chesapeake Isles.
Yes.
Which is in the
I did get East. It into the Perryville, which is this the greater Perryville, mm-hmm. which is the Carpenter's yep. Point.
You're pushing again, aren't you?
Yep.
You're gonna annex them both. Yeah.
And I just because part of the part of this study out here is if people have information to get it so we can help us with some of our data too. So I was thinking about that today. I didn't get it into the Northeast page, so I'll get it over there next.
So I suspect as we go, especially with Northeast and Elkton Fort, we already know they have had several projects. So yeah, we need to be the ones to help Aaron and all the state and other folks tied together and say this one needs to be done now. But I don't want to put one in front of the other. But you know,
I mean, we struggle with the same thing in different neighborhoods. Yeah. You know, sometimes it's like we want to do it all.
Yeah. So and we will help to identify any funding that we can. We're both learning a little bit more than that I ever wanted to. I'm a paramedic. I'm not,
That would be greatly appreciated because this is not going to be a cheap project once we figure out.
No. I mean, this is just to begin to. I mean, you could. Well, I don't know what you're paying for that study, but you know, that could be part of a mitigation grant. Project. Yeah,
we got a grant for most of it.
$75,000.
Is the grant? I figured it was $75,000 to $100,000 is what I was thinking.
Yep.
For them to do that. You don't start talking until you're 75.
Mm-hmm.
So you're on the low end.
Right.
And I'd like to add, as you guys are doing this and have achieved it, maybe we can use this as a foothold for the other towns that may not be doing it as well. So we'll just caveat and share the wealth to other townships.
And I'm not sure why it happened, but I mean, they have Vicky's had several contractors. I think they've used Dewberry and they've used others in the past to look at like Bainbridge drainage.
U.S. Army Corps of Engineers or something.
Well, they get a lot of, so they get a lot of support from the Corps of Engineer because of the dam and some of the structures there.
We're talking to them too.
Yeah. And they can do some help. And then there's another one. What did was the one from Michelle's thing. There's another contractor that they're using to go through and begin to map the areas similar to what you're doing and identifying the areas that have been nuisance areas and that sort of thing. So we have a meeting with them for that. It's kind of a walking tour, it looks like. They'll probably be pouring down rain that day.
Well, that's when you get to see some good flooding stuff.
Yeah. Oh, stop it.
Curtis, do you have anything you want to say about all the stuff about the stormwater plan?
Nope. It all sounds like a plan to me.
Just hold on to that for now so we have a copy. Okay. And then when
thank you.
Get it the whole time by everybody. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much.
So thank you all for your time. I'm sorry it took so much time.
I'm glad that you're here. We connected, and we'll be definitely in touch with you guys.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Yep. Nice to meet you, Michael.
You too.
Take care, guys.
The next thing on the agenda is Red Ribbon Week proclamation. You want to read it? Somebody wants to read this. I'm not reading another one.
Red Oh yeah, Prosper, you need a ribbon. You got one, Renee.
Red ribbon. Drug kickback.
Okay, so this is an official proclamation of the town of Charlestown, Maryland, Red Ribbon Week, October 23rd to 31st, which is technically more than a week, but
that's good.
Whereas Red Ribbon Week was started after the 1985 murder of Enrique Kiki Camarena, who was investigating drug trafficking in Mexico. And whereas the first National Red Ribbon Week was created by the National Family Partnership in 1988, and whereas each year millions of people celebrate Red Ribbon Week by wearing red ribbons, participating in community anti-drug events, and pledging to live drug-free lives. And now, therefore, I, Carl Faulkner, by virtue of the authority vested in me as president of the Board of Commissioners for the town of Charlestown, Maryland, do hereby proclaim October 23rd to the 31st as Red Ribbon Week. And I urge our citizens to take the following pledge, young and old. I pledge to stay in school and learn the things that I need to know. I pledge to make the world a better place for kids like me to grow. I pledge to keep my dreams alive and be all that I can be. And I pledge to help others and to keep myself drug free.
For anybody that is looking for places for to drop off unused prescriptions, they are at the state police barracks. Mm-hmm. They still are. I know every once in a while the pharmacies have them, but I know that the state police has it all the time. And it's in their lobby. You don't have to say anything. You just walk in. It's right there. You just put the stuff in there. I used it after my grandmother passed away. So it's just a resource.
We don't need a motion.
We just
need
it. Yeah, but here,
everybody, I'm sorry. Yeah, we did.
Oh, you did? Okay, yeah. Cool.
Curtis, you'll come in tomorrow to sign these, right?
Yes, I sure will.
Thanks, Curtis.
You're welcome.
Well, there's just an FYI, just next on the list, we were notified by MDE that the rules have changed for lead and copper within drinking water systems by the EPA. And so what MDE has told all of us water providers is we basically have 2 years to create an inventory of your system. And it's not just like we traditionally maintain, you know, from the water tower and our wells and our water treatment plant to the meters. The inventory has to include from the meter to the house. Yeah. And so Maryland Rural Water Association has been coming around to the town saying, hey, you need to get ready for this and think about it. Good news is the town of Betterton has a lot. I don't know if it's good news for the residents of Betterton, but they're kind of like a pilot study and they have a lot of copper lines from their meters to their homes with lead that was used in the soldering. So they're kind of like a prototype. They've developed a template letter to send to residents to say, hey, here's things you can do on your end of the system, like in your house. There's something called a scratch test to try to figure out what, you know, what the materials are made of on their side. The good news for us is we have fairly accurate as-built plans for our system and detail sheets that tell us what it's made out of. And we feel like we're in good shape that way, but we're going to have to.
Most residents had that blue pipe and most of them have been
plastic.
Most of it has collapsed and most people have
already redone
them.
And we might be in decent shape, but I just wanted you guys to know it's out there. It's something we're thinking about.
Okay.
Yeah. That's good to know.
We'll probably hear more about it in the future as we develop the outreach materials for residents. I guess last but not least is chickens.
I want you to know at the MML conference, this was a
big
conversation. And then you had Pocomoke that was like, chicken, what's up with the chickens? Because they have the big chicken farm. So yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
Like, why are you complaining about a couple chickens?
It was like, what are you guys talking about? She had what, four chickens?
I'll just, you know, in your packets is the ordinance we had passed in regards to this subject back in 2009, mm-hmm. that I think could probably be updated,
right.
especially as we're considering zoning ordinance cleanup changes. I then included our noise ordinance. One particular challenge I've been presented with is someone has a rooster. And it's loud, and it's a disturbance.
I thought it was in our thing that had no roosters, but then I can't remember from a long time ago.
Not in our...
In the chicken ordinance?
In the chicken ordinance?
Not in the 2009 ordinance. There's nothing about...
I thought we said no roosters.
I thought we did, too.
And there's nothing in it. I don't think it would be... Well, let me back up. As far as the noise ordinance goes...
Complaint.
About a rooster?
No.
Okay. But I'm just saying, as far as the rooster goes, I would rather us consider updating our chicken ordinance.
Yes.
Yes.
Than to go and try to hire someone with a noise decibel meter.
But I did get a noise complaint over in Coral Springs. Mm-hmm. This two weekends ago.
Mm-hmm.
Sunday night, and the guy was out there with a backhoe. Working on his house. And I still couldn't figure out why there was a sacco after it was like 9:30. I said, well,
maybe he was renting it and he had to try.
That's what I was thinking. Maybe he was just trying to get like that final push and it had to be turned in Monday morning or something, where there was or a leak somewhere. But I was like, did you walk over and ask him?
Yeah,
right. A couple weeks ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I can't remember.
I would think it would be more of the fact of turning it in or there was a leak somewhere. Yeah.
But I was like, did you walk over and ask him
he was doing?
So with the chicken ordinance and listening to other towns, I know what the county said, and that doesn't mean that that's what we have to do with the property size. Most of them have a 4 to 6 chicken limit with no roosters. They have where a coop has to be. They have to be registered. And that's a state law now. Okay. So because of avian flu, they have to be registered. Some of the towns are even to make sure that they are, that they have to come to the town and they have to do like a $10 initial fee, not a renewable thing, just mm-hmm. the fact that we know that there's chickens there. Right. And it's, I think it's, they have, the coop has to be in the backyard, not in the front yard. They can have the movable ones,
mm-hmm.
but they have to, there's certain standards for that.
They had to be so far off the line.
25
yeah.
feet off of the line.
There's a whole mess of that.
That it can't be 20, it has to be 25 feet away from your neighboring dwellings,
mm-hmm.
not yours.
This is not yours.
Neighboring. Also dwellings, not well, property lines.
No, just dwellings.
Okay.
Yeah, and it can't be right on, yeah, and well, that was another thing too. It couldn't be right on your property line either.
Yes.
It had to be off of the property line.
I had seen something too when I was reading some of it that people had to have okays from their neighbors.
Yeah, they were supposed to.
Some towns have it that way. Now the county did issue it that they have to have an acre of property,
mm-hmm.
but
that's a lot of that's a lot of land for us.
To have a couple. Chickens in your backyard. I do not see what this is a yeah. big thing. I don't agree with having the roosters in town limits.
Yeah, only because like the one that we have that just does not, he's messed up. He does not know his morning from his night, from his afternoon to his
either.
This thing just cuck-a-doodle-doos all day long, all night long. And it's yep. like,
I don't
even
have
know where it's from.
I
have the baby.
I know a friend of mine.
If it hears a noise, it's going to protect its girls.
Right.
A friend of mine had lived in a community that one of the neighbors had chickens, and every afternoon in the summertime, they let the chickens out. But they wanted that because, I'm not saying we're going to do this, but because of ticks and things like that, the chickens are eating that. And they would just go around the neighborhood and they would do their thing. I'm not saying that's what we want to do, but there's a lot of things to take into consideration. Mm-hmm. Brian just is bringing this to our attention because there was a complaint about chickens over in Trinity, right?
Oh, in Trinity? No.
Cool Springs.
No. Oh, cool. Scott Garden.
Oh, sorry. One of the gardens.
Complaints over there, two different people.
The chickens went over the fence, I guess.
And they have a rooster.
Okay. So it's something, when we did a lot of this stuff, and some of this was written before I was on the board the last time, there was another thing in there that was brought up when I was on the board. This was brought up because of the geese that were up here in the red brick house. That the grandfather got two geese. They were pets. They dressed them up. The grandkids dressed them up. They had a little pool out back. Neighbors didn't think it was right. It came here, and I'm like, they're pets.
they were pets.
Okay.
That's right.
And at that time, it's when all the emotional support stuff was coming out, and there was no real guidance. And I said, you know, we can't go against the ADA things on when it deals with emotional support. So there was a lot of talk about it. Is our ordinance okay? It's okay, but it does need to be, it does not specifically talk about roosters, and it's something that we need to work on. And I guess we can talk about it at the zoning meeting next week, and we can bring it back
and let us know.
Where are we, speaking of the zoning of the?
So the town attorney is still reviewing it.
Okay, that's what I wanted to know.
Not any comments yet. I would think it'd be good to get some comments from him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, because we still have the chickens in town over on, right? And there's no, okay. Then yeah, I'd rather hear
it from him. I mean, there's many things. I found the Maryland regulation or the chicken. Ordinances I screenshotted this at work today. Where did I see it? It was talking about how many chickens can be in an area.
Yeah, like a density.
Mm-hmm. Map. No.
I think most places said 4 to 6.
It was 4 to 6. And yeah. it depended on the size of the property. So you should have a flock of 5 or 6 hens is good choice because they are flocks. They want to stick together. It says in the backyard, each chicken needs at least 3 square feet of space in their coop and an additional 10 square feet of space in their pen per chicken. So there's a lot of things. Do I think an acre?
Yeah, I think it's overkill.
It's overkill.
That's what you need for a horse.
When I saw that with the county, I mean, this is my personal opinion. People that have the 2 or 3, 4 chickens in their backyard, I don't think we need to have an acre of property for that.
Mm-hmm.
Curtis, what do you have anything before I take that to the zoning?
No, I agree. And, you know, some of them, I mean, I don't see anything wrong. If that's how people are, you know, surviving, they're using them for eggs and, you know, there should be some kind of limit, you know. We don't want the town over bombarded by them. But I see nothing wrong. Honestly, we used to have some too. And I got rid of them, honestly, because they smelled so bad. It was so bad, we couldn't even go outside. So I was like, you know, we got to get rid of them. But that was just me. I didn't have complaints from other neighbors, but
and that's part of the challenge with confining them.
Well, and it also in some of the towns it talks about the cleaning up of it too.
You have to keep it clean,
remove it,
right? Yeah.
Or lose it.
And then you figure when you need 3 square feet of space for a chicken in a coop.
And that's just
13 square feet.
Right. You got to move the coop.
It's yes. 13 square feet, actually, per chicken.
For each chicken.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So six, you're talking and 18 you square to, foot coop for 6 chickens.
Yeah, you actually
got to be able to move
you
it.
You have to maintain your house also, your yard. That's just like if somebody lets their yard grow to like, you know,
right.
And you have a dog and you don't clean up after your dog, mm-hmm. you know, that becomes a
starts getting an issue health for, safety issues. Right. Yes.
It becomes a health issue, especially with chickens.
But that's, I mean, go ahead, Curtis.
Sorry. And the roosters, I do understand because they are, I mean, they might not bother you because you own them, but you got to have some kind of, you know, boundaries, you know, for your neighbor. You got to care about your neighbors a little bit. And when you have roosters, you're pretty much saying, I don't care.
Almost roosters everyone, are
allowed.
Yeah. Almost everyone that I, of the towns, the municipalities that have the chicken ones that I saw specifically said,
no roosters.
Yeah, roosters, they zap. They do. They're noisy. The egg, you know, the chickens, I understand in a way because they are good eating. The eggs are good eating. You can't beat them. But mm-hmm. it does smell and it does smell for the neighbors too. It all depends how clean you keep it. We had to stay on it so bad we couldn't keep up on it. It was just stunk, and we only had 4 of them.
There was also ordinances in there about pigeons mm-hmm. and all that. So I mean, I was like, oh my gosh, I was just thinking chicken. You're all talking about other animals. Well. And then they send me to work about, they handed me the policies and procedures about animals and housing. And I'm like, is this like,
what? Yeah. Well, but I see nothing wrong with the chickens. I would recommend that, you know, that people would try to understand that their neighbors might not love the smell and maybe communicate with your neighbors just to make sure, because it is a terrible living. I know somebody that lives next to someone right now with chickens. And it smells so bad you can't go in his backyard. Oh. You can't even hang out in his driveway. And it's in Charlestown. It's that bad. But, you know, I just think people should have a little bit of courtesy for their neighbors a little bit. And having chickens might be nasty for the neighbor. I mean, especially if you're not keeping it clean. But like I said, I don't see a big deal about chickens other than the smell. What do you think, Prosper? I see you over there dozing off. Are you all right?
No, I personally agree with you. I think you have to consider your neighbors. Mm-hmm. They do have a pungent odor.
They do. Oh, you want to take it to planning and zoning and come back with us and let us know?
Yeah, this Thank is you. More of a
just a
discussion.
Discussion. Yeah. Before we go to there.
You.
Oh, by the way, chickens.
Yeah.
Okay, that's the end of our meeting. Curtis, I'll start with you. Did you have anything you wanted to discuss?
No, I think everything's good. I do. I think it went well. Everybody's, you know, happy and go lucky. So that's all that matters, really. Everybody's getting along, so that's good.
Well,
we have a meeting tomorrow.
Yes, a meeting at noon.
I know you're super busy, so I know.
We're going through audits.
Have fun with that.
Anyway.
Yeah, but we're going to just finalize everything for the Halloween parade this weekend. That's it.
I do apologize. I started a new job, and I'm overwhelmed right now.
It's all good. We have.
Hey, Lou, do you got to register to do the trunk or treat or?
No.
Anybody can just show up?
Yep.
Okay. Actually, Craig, my neighbor next door was wondering. He likes to do that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Believe it. That's great. No, we are having our last meeting tomorrow, and then we also have to realize that we have Mary out because of a problem with her family, not a problem, but a loss in her family. And so I will be doing the big blast tomorrow afternoon out on Facebook and everything.
Okay.
And I'll put the signs out. Thursday over in Cool Springs and all over town for us, so that the word gets out. And the word also is going out through the schools, our school. So, but yeah.
You guys are doing a good job with that Halloween stuff. The kids love it. And I think you guys, and so all them little scarecrows too. But I had a question. How long are we going to pay Bob to stand out there on Bladen Street?
Bob, he needs to get to work, doesn't he?
Bob has to stay there until I tell him he can leave. And I know you haven't told him he could leave yet.
I rode by there and I said, Bob, what are you doing out there?
The best part about those was we did them with Market Street Cafe and Bobby, me, Dennis, and Robin, and Natalie Chadwick. We got
really, actually, I rode around town to see if I seen anybody else was written on the shirts. I thought for sure I would see Lou on one, and no. I thought I'd see you guys. I was like, where are they at now?
No, Bob is so proud that he is the only one that has his actual name on the shirt. He is legitimately now honored by being Bob.
Yeah.
We have Tom, and Tom is down by his marina, and we have some of the other ones around that we know who they are, but we're not saying. Yeah. And we, of course, I had gone to a yard sale just that morning, and I found that dragon, and the lady let me have it for $5 when I told her what I was doing with it.
Really?
So that's Charlestown Dragons for the kids at school.
I think they all look good.
Yeah, and we've gotten the one that has a blonde, Miss Pauline called me and said, I went out to help you hang up the scarecrows. I walked up to it, and it wasn't you. It was a scarecrow.
I actually, not to be mean, I thought that one was going to be yours. Honestly, yeah. I thought for sure, I was like, that's going to be Lou. I thought for sure your name was going to be on it, but it wasn't.
Yeah, and I said, it's funny, it's my clothes and my brother donated clothes. And but I was like, no, it's not us. So we've got nothing but, you know, positive things. But it took us 3 days to make about 40 scarecrows. Wow. And the little ones were my kids, my little grandson's costumes and stuff, too. So I really can't say enough thank yous to Bobby and them down at Market
Street. We should make one for the front there for Brian.
After down hall.
Town hall right at the front door.
One out here holds a lot of heart for me. That is Miss Debbie's wedding dress.
Oh, really?
Yes, it is.
Wow.
And I hung it out here also. And it's for the church, too, because it goes to the church. And it was Debbie's wedding dress.
Wow.
So, yes. So I want to thank everybody that helped with that. And then I just ran around hanging them up. And the wolf was made by Robin at Market Street. And I just thought he looked awesome in the stocks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, good job, everybody.
Yeah.
Hey, Curtis, we had a phone call where a lady said she wanted to report all these strange loitering people around town.
I was kind of blown away, too, when I seen them. I was like, what in the world is going on?
Well, she could come home late at night. That startled her because there was one near her house, and she was kind of concerned. And then when she got up in the morning and looked out, she started laughing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because Kathy called me and said, Lou, I've got a complaint. And I was like, oh no.
Yeah.
And she said, yeah, the lady wanted to complain about all the loitering going on in town. And I was like, oh my gosh, where? people are loitering in town? Where? And then I got it. I was like, oh. And I was like, okay. So I thought they turned out cute.
Brian, do you have anything?
Nope.
Awesome.
Yes, I have a couple weighty questions. Number one, who owns the church next door? I'm not against the Methodist, and I own the Methodist Church. My concern is if they're spending money that I believe is a taxpayer's money, are we responsible for the repairs for that building?
I don't think so. The church congregation told us that they have
the funds necessary to make the repairs. But I hear you. If you look at state tax assessment records, the town owns that property.
We own the grounds.
We don't own the church.
We
don't own the building. Mm-mm. And I don't know how that works, but
we don't own the building.
As far as I know, the congregation has their own funds, and they've, mm-hmm. you know, raised it amongst themselves to, well, at least to replace the roof anyway.
And this is something that is hearsay. I don't know if it's true, but they only got one bid for the repairs. You know, spending the kind of money they're going to spend on that building, they certainly should have got three bids and then made a decision based on the price and the quality and the reputation of the person or builders that are doing the work.
Prosper, that's their business. Yeah, that's not really our business, though, because...
Okay. Well, you answered the question then. The town doesn't own the
building. Right. No. Right.
And the conversation.
Yeah, if we would have owned it, then we would have probably asked for three bids or something like that. But since we don't own it, it's like me telling you how to, well, I wouldn't even try that. Anything else, Prosper?
That's fine.
Thank you.
Online, you want to go there?
How about D. Wood? Do you have anything?
Uh-huh. He's probably passed out. He's on medical.
How about the?
Yeah, I do.
What do you got?
Oh, town. Just on the drug drop-off thing. The town of Northeast Police Department also has a drug drop-off box in the front lobby. It's available from 8:30 to 4:30 during the week.
Okay.
He has a drug drop-off.
Cool. Thanks, Dennis.
Famous.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome. Thanks.
I didn't realize that. I knew that state police had it because I've used it, but yeah. I didn't know Northeast. That's a good thing. Yeah. We can get both of those places on our website. Thank you.
Yeah, and that's close.
Oh, you're welcome.
State police is too.
How about Galaxy Tab S5E? Do you have anything for public comment?
Is that me? Yeah. Ursula?
Oh, hey, Ursula.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
I think I am Galaxy. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. I don't know what item I'm on. I have too many tablets and phones. Okay, at any rate, I forgot what I was going to say. You've got me so confused. Was there something on the agenda regarding footlog today?
Yeah.
Did I see something on the agenda regarding footlog? Did I miss it or?
Yeah, I don't know if you caught it or not, but it was the cost estimate we received from Coastal Resources to design the swale coming off of Baltimore Street away from the sewer line patch that we're hoping to construct soon.
Yes.
That's what we discussed was if that seemed like a good cost estimate. We had asked another engineer we've been working with on the watershed master plan, Dewberry, for their opinion, and it was favorable. So that
we have a couple estimates for that, or
sorry, what's that?
Do we have a few estimates for that, or estimate, or what is?
Yeah, it was the same engineer who designed the sewer line patch. And no, there was no other, we didn't get another cost estimate to design that swale.
Because nobody else.
Okay.
Offered one, is that why?
Yeah.
It was the same.
Yeah.
We're using it for
we got no other group.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you can't sign your.
Okay. Name. Are you there? Yes. Yep. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we didn't get any bids for the cost of the swale, is what you're saying.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, we got one.
Will we be getting one?
No, we got one cost estimate from the engineer that we were working with on the sewer.
Same, yeah. For the same project.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. 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 All right. Okay. Obviously, this project's not going to start till what? Spring?
Actual construction
will start
probably wouldn't be until the spring, yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Is that it, Ursula?
That's it for now. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome.
Was that Steve with her?
Well, that was it.
No, Steve Kramer with her.
No.
Okay. I don't think anybody was with
her. There might have been somebody else that asked.
All right, I will take a motion. Curtis, do you second that?
Yep, I second it.
Thank you, everybody, for a great meeting. And we will see everybody in a couple weeks, if not before.
Everybody okay? Have a good night.
Bye.